6:30 now, and with that, but from 10 to 21 minutes. Not longer than 21 minutes.
Thank you. So first of all, I'd like to welcome everyone for today's Muslim Christian dialogue. I'd also like to extend a warm welcome to Matt Slick. I'm sure it's not easy taking time off from the busy schedule to conduct this debate. I hope this is the beginning of a meaningful relationship in which we can have more discussions like this. The concept that the discussion for Jesus is God and Islam and Christianity. And let me start off by telling you what we as Muslims believe in regards to God. Muslims only believe in one God. It is the same God as worshipped by Jews and Christians. And it is the same God of Isaac. It is the same God of Abraham. The same God of Ishmael. And of all the prophets. And this one God has no partners or associates. There are no co-gods as God. And nothing is worthy of worship except for God. Now, when I say one God, I feel like I need to qualify what exactly I mean by one God, because different religions have different views of who and what our one God is. If you look at the history of religion, say, going back to the most ancient times, we find that there is a predominant, recurring view, and that is the belief and practice of man-worshipping. And man-worshipping is basically believing that God is or was a human being which walked upon this earth, and not just human being, but man, woman, or child, is God which walked upon this earth. Not only do you find man worshiping, we also find examples of animal worshiping, the belief that God is some animal which walked on this earth. And even we find examples of half man, half animal type deities. let me give you an example of a few of some man gods which are worshipped inside different religions. If you look at the religion of Buddhism, we see here that that some denominations of Buddhists believe that Buddha is actually God who came in the flesh of a man. In the Hindu religion, we have several avatars, and these are basically God taking the form of human beings and walking upon the earth. And there are several avatars in the Hindu religion. Some example of some female gods, female human gods, is Semiramis. Semiramis is a god in Greek and Roman mythology. And she was basically viewed as the mother of God, and she was actually a fertility goddess. She gave birth to all of the human gods that were related to Nimrod. Some example of some animal gods, we go back to the Hindu religion, we see that there is a belief in a god which has the head of an elephant and the body of a man, and this god is called Ganesh. So here's an example of a half-human, half-animal type god. And when we look in Christianity, we see the same thing. We see the same element of man-worshipping, because according to the Christian belief, God took the form of a human being, which was Jesus, and walked upon the earth. So we also have the element of man-worshipping. When it comes to Islam, Islam clearly negates and denies any type of man-worshipping or any form of man-worshipping, whether it's man, woman, or child. And not only that, but Islam negates any kind of animal-worshipping and clearly states that no man, human, or animal is God, and has come to abolish this belief and practice. Therefore, the main focus of Islam is to pull people away from these other entities of worship, other human gods, other man gods, and to pull people away from these false gods and bring them to the one true supreme God, which is God of Abraham. And this message is not something new. Rather, all the messengers of God came to teach the same noble truth. Worship one God, without any partners, you grab none other. Now, Muslims also believe in Jesus Christ. In fact, Islam and Christianity are the only two religions which make an article of faith to believe in Jesus. We believe that Jesus Christ was one of the mightiest messengers of God, that he was born miraculously, and that he was the Messiah as prophesied. And he did the miracles by God's permission. He healed both the born blind and the lepers by God's permission. But Jesus Christ himself was a human being. He was a messenger of God, and he did not come to this earth to claim that he was God or that he was somehow involved in a Trinity. That this was not his message. And there's a quotation from the Bible, and I'm sorry, from the Quran, in which God asks Jesus, did he ever claim to be God? And this is what Jesus responds inside Psalm 5, verse 117. Never did I say to him, God, except worship you, God. Never did I say to them, God, except what you, God, do command me to say, which is, worship God, my Lord and your Lord. This is the true message of Jesus Christ. Now, this is the main difference between Islam and Christianity. The Christians, they have exonerated Jesus to the level of God. And when I see this belief of man worshiping inside Christianity, it's not something which surprises me. Because what I just see is, if you look back in history of the ancient religion, you will find the same belief, and this is, in my view, the same mistake which many religions have made before, that when they have exonerated and venerated their religious teachers, their priests, to the level of God. Therefore, it doesn't surprise me to see an element of man worshiping in the Christian tradition, because this is simply history repeating itself. Let me bring up another point of contrast. As I say, under the verse of the Quran, which clearly says in Surah 112, verse 4, that there is none co-equal or comparable unto him. No man, woman, or anything in the universe can be equal to God. This is another belief of the Muslims. And now, to help clarify this point, let me pause here for a second and let me ask you, what is the difference between me and God? Who could tell me? Well, probably you think, God's all-knowing. Of course, I'm not all-knowing. I just graduated out of high school. And we know that God is all-powerful. I'm not all-powerful. I can go and venture my own way. God is self-sufficient. He doesn't want me to eat. He doesn't want me to drink. I need to eat and drink or I'll be dead. He does eternal. God has no beginning and no end. God has always existed. There was never a time when God did not exist. So I guess what I'm trying to say is that these things that you have, these qualities that you're rattling off, God's all-knowing, he's all-powerful, he's self-sufficient, God is eternal, these are all the attributes of God. And what we as Muslims say is that God is not equal, and that man is not equal to God in any of his attributes. We are all miserably inferior to God. This is one of the beliefs of Islam. But there's a verse in the Bible which I wanted to bring up. It's Hebrews chapter 7, verse 3. Now, from what it says, he talks about a Jewish priest called Melchizedek. And inside here it says that about the priest Melchizedek, he is without father or mother or genealogy, and has neither beginning of days nor end of life. But remembering the Son of God, he continues a priest forever. So here what we see inside the Bible is that in this passage of the Bible is that this priest Melchizedek, not only him but Jesus, they are eternal. They have no beginning or end. That means that God didn't even create this man Melchizedek. Melchizedek has always simultaneously existed next to God side by side. And this is what Islam has came to correct these ideas. For making man equal to God. And Jesus is God here. So basically, Islam negates this, the belief in whether it's Melchizedek, whether it's Jesus, or any human being, making them equal to God or comparable to God in their attributes. No man is eternal like God or share in any of his attributes. Now, let me briefly turn my attention to the Christian understanding of God, which is the Trinity. The Trinity basically states that the Father is God, Jesus is God, and the Holy Ghost is God, and there are not three gods, but one God. This is what Trinity basically states. Now, this is a brief passage in the Bible. And in this passage, you will see that there is Jesus is on the cross. And on the cross, Jesus cries out with a loud voice, my God, why have you forsaken me? Let's just pause here for a second. I mean, anyone with common sense can see in some of the passages of the Bible that there are more than one God here. There are two gods. You have the one God on the cross, and then you have the one God in heaven. And not only are there two gods inside this passage of the Bible, but the two gods are engaged in an argument. This God is complaining to the other God, God, why did you leave me here? So therefore, what those points here is that the Bible presents and teaches two different gods. But you tell people to believe in one God. Just believe in one God anyway. That is the understanding of Trinity. That is Trinity put in the most simplest form. Trinity is then basically worshipping two gods in relation to God and Jesus. Just tell yourself that you are worshipping one. And I tell you what, if you repeat something enough times, there's one God there, there's one God, and even though you see two, eventually if you repeat something enough times, you will eventually start believing in it. And that is what Trinity is. Let me give you an example of choice. I can clarify this point. Out of my driveway, I have two motor vehicles. I have a BMW automobile, and I have a motorcycle. Now, if I were to get my two motor vehicles, I just keep telling myself, no, there's one motor vehicle there, one motor vehicle there. I keep doing it, eventually, I'll start believing it, even though I see two. And then if I go to my neighbor, and I ask him, how many more vehicles do I have? He would say, well, you have two motor vehicles. You have your BMW right there, and you have your motorcycle. And I said, no, there's only one motor vehicle. There's only one. I've already told him, no, there's only one motor vehicle there. He's going to get very frustrated. He grabbed me and dragged me to my driveway at the time. You've got two motor vehicles there. You have your BMW right here, and you have your Honda motorcycle right here. One, two, there, I just proved it to you that you have two motor vehicles. Now, dear, if I am wrong, please tell me, give me the proof and evidence that no, there are not two motor vehicles there, there's only one. That's probably what he was thinking. And I probably would not be able to show him the proof that there is one motor vehicle in the driveway. Now, let's take the same common sense to the Bible, to the passage of the Bible. There are two gods there. You have the God up in heaven, and you have the God on the cross. Anyone can see there are two gods there. Therefore, I would like to pose the same question to Reverend Matt Swick, which is, friend, if I am wrong that there are not two gods on this page in the Bible, then what is your proof and evidence that there is only one God there? So that is my friendly challenge to Reverend Matt Swick. Therefore, the Bible clearly does present two different gods. But, he can tell you, in spite of that, just believe in one God anyways. And when a Christian comes to me and tells me that he believes in one God, what I respond to him is that I sincerely believe and respect your faith, your views, and your beliefs. That you believe in one God. You may think you believe in one God, but in reality, you believe in more than one God. Therefore, what Trinity is, it is basically saying about one God. It's not one God, excuse me. And this is not the message of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ did not come here to say, oh, by the way, I am God, my Father is God, and the Holy Ghost is God, and there are not three gods but one God. This is not his message. And whether he came to teach the same monotheism that Abraham believed in, that Moses believed in, that all the prophets believed in, and these prophets didn't worship Jesus. These prophets never claimed they had any other God or any other kind of Trinity God. So this is not the belief of Abraham either. Therefore, in conclusion to my discussion, I just would like to reiterate. I told you that basically if some believe in one God, it is the same God which is that of Abraham. Some deny any kind of man worshiping in any form of animal worshiping. And it brings people away from the worship of the other human beings. It doesn't matter whether they're Buddha or Melchizedek or anyone, it brings them to the worship of the one true supreme God. Islam also believes in Jesus. We believe that Jesus was the messenger of God, the prophet of God. Number four, Islam teaches that there is nothing and nothing in the universe, or man or woman, is equal to God in any way, in any of his attributes. They're all miserably inferior compared to God, which is quite a contrast with the Bible, which is about Melchizedek. And then number five, lastly, I brought up the point about how the Bible does teach and present more than one God, which tells people to believe in one God. And it appends challenge to Masoretic decrees, shows the proof and evidence that there are not two gods, there is only one God. So in conclusion to my short presentation, I would like to read to you a verse from the Quran. It says in chapter 3, verse 64, O people of the scripture, Jews and Christians, come to a word that is just between us and you, that we worship one but Allah, which is God, and that we associate no partners with him, and that none of us shall be honored as Lord beside God. That if we turn away, we bear witness that we are Muslims. Muslims are those who submit to the one and true God. So with these words, I would like to turn over the mic to the moderator. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Ahmed. You're welcome for that. With the book of until 5:654. So now it's 6:49. Okay, Matt, I just want to give you the reason why this challenge is in place. If you Matt in the room, Matt, don't be stupid, Matt, how good old. So that's one of the reasons why I did challenge him. That number one, number two, is very different, so different, and we need to keep this discussion and conversation here, and give the big bash. I think that's the Prophet Muhammad. No one more than the Prophet Muhammad. I mean, Prophet is deep. So we need to keep it clean, so mature discussion. Now it's 6:50. You guys from 10 to 15 minutes, not longer than 20 minutes. Very good now.
Well, thank you very much. And I say these words, it occurs to me suddenly that I need to pray. And so, since you open the room with in the Quran, I'll open up my discussion with prayer. Very brief. And then I will tackle the issues. Lord Jesus, I ask that you would be glorified in this. And Jesus, that you may open up the hearts and the minds of those who do not know the truth of who you are. Lord, the enemy is alive. Please defeat him by the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Amen. This reason, you would not say that you would be the same God as the Jews and the Christians. You said you would be the same God that Abraham worshipped. No, you and I, Muslims and Christians, do not believe in the same God. The God of Christianity is a Trinity. The God of Islam is not. They are different in nature, they are different in essence. The God of Christianity became incarnate, the Word that is, which was having was with God, one became incarnate, became one of us. The light is able to touch him, to understand him, to see him, to see a truthful and perfect representation of who God really is. You do not have to go through a mere book to know Jesus Christ personally. This is not the same God we saw. We do not serve the same God. Now, Abraham saw God. You say that God, the God of Islam, cannot even be seen. And God himself, he couldn't be seen. So therefore, I'm assuming that you are trusting God, because otherwise you would not believe. Genesis 18:1. Now, Yahweh, that's the name of God, appeared to Abraham at the house of Mamre, while he was sitting with the tents, or in the heat of the day. Genesis 18:1, God appeared to Abraham at his 16:3. God spoke first to Moses and said to him, I am Yahweh. Yahweh appeared to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as God Almighty. So God himself tells us that he appeared to Abraham. Jesus says, no man has ever seen the Father at any time. They were not seeing the Father, but they were seeing God Almighty. They were seeing the Word, the pre-incarnate Jesus Christ, who is God Almighty. Now, this reason, you said that there is a false theological system, so know, the deals of happening will have people in time and I will send people with you that are false. I would debate with you on that. And it is then they are false. That they are not real, you know, not exist, they're not in God. But it has nothing to do with Christianity. Christianity is not some pagan idea. Christianity is the relationship with God. Christianity is the true God of Abraham. The God of the Old Testament said, let us go down the confounder language. Let us make man in our image. It's the Quran. God says, God is the He says, and they will look upon me whom they have pierced. He's giving a prophecy about how he himself will be pierced. And who is pierced? With Jesus on the cross. The Old Testament is full of the idea of the incarnation of God. And there's amazing verses like this in the Old Testament where God says, he will be one of us so that he might bear our sins and become the one who will deliver us from damnation. And all who do not have Jesus, as Jesus says, will be lost and will go to hell. He's in the middle of the to down, excuse me, to pull people away from the false gods, the one true supreme God who does not have any partners. Well, when you say the word partner, I understand that you mean people. Because that is what this one teaches, that you can have no other partners with God, and that to go that is shirk, you don't have to go sin. Well, funny thing is, God himself says yes, God himself says you will be pierced. God himself is the one who appears to Abraham, God Almighty, when Jesus, before the teacher, the great one, said that no one has received a prophet that we're seeing God Almighty. So who are you seeing again? I don't know if you're not guilty what it is you're trying to avoid. When you do not want anyone to serve a false God, how do you know that you are not serving a false God yourself? How do you know? When you trust the sons of Muhammad down in the throne, that is what you're trusting. I'm trusting Jesus Christ, who claimed to be God. John chapter 8, verses 58 through 51. I'm going to say that in a little bit. Jesus is going to be God. He's going to walk on water. He rose from the dead. He calls an ocean. The storm was a command. He raised others from death. And he said, "Anyone that shoots the light, like nobody comes to the Father but by me." Not by Muhammad, not by Moses, but by me. Jesus points to himself. Is the one that you must go to. And Paul even says, Peter even says in Acts 4:12, there's no other name of the Holy Spirit than other than Jesus. You cannot have your sins forgiven other than Jesus. This is the Jesus you say that you believe in. But you know what? Sorry, Muslim, there is a reason that you do not believe in the Jesus of the Bible. You believe in the Jesus of the Quran imposed upon the Jesus of the Bible. If Jesus from the Bible claims to be heaven, if you go to Exodus, the Old Testament, that Moses himself wrote, Exodus chapter 3, Moses is speaking to God, and he says, "And who are you? What is your name? Who shall I say has sent me to the people of Israel?" And God says, "Say that to you. Think to them. Say, I am that I am. Thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, I am has sent me to you." God says, "I am and be." Greek translation by the Jews from that verse is present as I am. The Jews understood that God was saying, "I am, not I will be what I will be, or I have to be something I will be." He said, "I am." That's what the Jews in 200 BC translated into what's called the Septuagint Greek. I am that I am. Jesus said in 8:58, before Abraham was, "I am." And the Episcopals would kill him. They wanted to kill him for saying that. John 10, 30 through 33, he says, "I am the one who sits on the gathered side." And he said, "You can look to the Father, I have shown you. For which of these are you studying me?" And he said, "For a good Lord, you are not studying me. You will be in make yourself out to God." We know that Jesus came to him. But also all the Jews did not agree with Jesus. They said, "You are coming to God." And the Jews denied that Jesus died in flesh. For this reason, you also, like those Jews, agree with those Jews that Jesus is not in flesh. But Jesus can say, "Unless you believe that I am, you will die in your sins." And he put the wrong title, a wrong thought from Exodus 14, before Abraham was, "I am," and he might kill him for saying it. It is those who stumble over Jesus those are the ones who say he is God, who he said he was. Jesus willingly received worship, and he himself in Matthew chapter 4. He says, you shall God only, because he willingly received worship. Matthew 2:11, 14:3, 28:9, John 1:35-38. And even the author of Hebrews, Jesus Paul, quotes God saying, worship Jesus. And God himself even calls Jesus God. And he was worthy. He was worthy. Now, I am impressed if you can understand the Trinity. Most persons who I have spoken with do not understand the doctrine of the Trinity. But you've got half right, and I'm doing this now. And I mean that you did pretty well when you said that the Trinity states the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are all one God, not two gods. This is correct. Each of the three persons is the totality of them all is the one God. It's not time. Time, the whole thing, is past, present, future. Past, present, future, three aspects, two parts of the whole. And this one part is not the whole. And it's not three times, it's only one thing of the whole time, which has two parts. And this is what God is like, the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They're great. He was the Spirit. He quoted, my God, why have you forsaken me? He quoted this from Jesus on the cross. And he knew the God of Jesus then is the God, and that there is a God in the heavens. Well, this would then go against the doctrine of the Trinity, which you stated earlier, is nothing like the one. But you are in the same point of view as all. What you say is the understanding, or your understanding, of the God of the Trinity. Now, for this reason, I thought that you would be going to study a certain doctrine within Christianity, the human body, the hypostatic union. It is that the Word, in the beginning was the Word, the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. John 1:1-14. It says, John the Apostle, who knew Jesus personally, wrote this. In the beginning was the Word, the Word was with God, and was God, the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. John so stated that the Word was with God, and therefore Jesus is God in flesh. Jesus has two natures. He's both human and divine. He's both God and man. He's both human and divine. This is basic Christian doctrine. This is why Jesus, according to Hebrews 2:1, who is made for God, who is our Lord and the angels, and according to Galatians 4:4, was made under the law. Worked, therefore, as a good Jew, under the law, and as a man, follow the Father, his God. It does not mean that he is not also divine in his own self, because the person of the Word is not the person of the Father, and is not the person of the Holy Spirit. And let us reason, you need to study this doctrine of the Trinity if you want to critique it and condemn it, because if you understand that, and if I understand what I said, you would understand that your question, the question of why have my wife on the second, is a basic question that's long ago been answered. This is basic Christianity. There are no two gods. That is against the Bible. The Bible clearly tells us in Isaiah 43:10, 44:6, 44:8, 45:5, that there is only one God. Jesus was a good Jew who believed only in one God. John the Apostle calls him God. Thomas calls him God when he says to Jesus in John 24:8, the Lord of me and the God of me. Speaking to Jesus. Did Jesus correct him for saying that? No, he did not. Did Jesus correct everybody when they worshiped him? No. But he really received what was due him. He even said to God in John 17:5, may I have the glory, Lord, give me the glory I had with you before the foundation of the world. The glory I had with you. Laying claim to the glory of God before the foundation of the universe itself. Meaning that Jesus Christ, the one who was there first, there before, and he seeks the glory that belongs to God. This is the man Jesus Christ who you say you but you can deny that he receives the same glory. He says in John 5:20-22, you honor him even as you honor the Father himself. Jesus is the one who said, for whoever has, I am in his own title for himself. Jesus in the Bible is what he receives worship. And it is called God and does not repeat anybody who's doing that. Jesus is the one who says that he alone is the one of the truth in the life. No. That's John 14:6, that's another one. You said, if I am both, there are not two gods, then what is your proof that there's only one God? The proof that there's only one God is the Bible itself, which teaches that there is only one God. You can read Isaiah chapters 43 through 45 as an example. And the fact that Jesus Christ called the Father his God does not mean that Jesus Christ is not divine, because the doctrine that hypothetically teaches that Jesus has two natures, he is both divine and human. As the Bible says, the one who was God became flesh. God in flesh. This is what the Apostle teaches. Paul confirms this when he says in Colossians 2:9, for him, Jesus, was all the fullness of Godhead in bodily form. So he is known and taught as being both divine and human in the Bible. That's what it says. Now, in conclusion, we said, Islam also believes in Jesus. I would say it is Jesus. The Jesus of Islam, not the Jesus of the Bible. Because he's different. The Jesus of Islam is not God in flesh, does not have two natures. He never died on the cross. But the Jesus of the Bible did claim to be God. He did die on the cross, and he did rise from the dead. You said no one is equal to God, neither man nor creature. I agree with that. Jesus is not merely a man. He is the Word, which was God, and became flesh. The Bible does not teach and present more than one God, is what you said. I agree with you. It does not. And there's no contradiction in the Bible at all. I will close with this. In Exodus 3:14, when Moses said to God, what is your name? Who are you? God says, you shall say, I am as I am. That's my name is. Jesus says in John 8:24, unless you believe that I am, you will die in your sins. And he says just a few verses later, before the victim was, I am. Jesus was claiming to be divine in his own self and nature. And if you believe what Jesus says, then you believe he is the I am who spoke to Moses. And you will believe that you will die in your sins unless you believe that Jesus Christ is God in flesh. Who then is teaching the true God? The Muslim or the Christian? The Christian who follows Jesus, who rose from the dead, who walked on the water, who claimed to be divine in his own self? Or the Muslim who follows what Muhammad said about Jesus, as opposed to those who knew Jesus personally and wrote what he said down? I will trust those who personally knew Christ, who wrote what he said, and I'll trust Christ before anybody else. And you need to do the same thing. Eternity is a long time to be wrong. Okay.
Okay, so I hope to see you all. Thanks so much for your presentation. We really appreciate that. Okay, now we will have 3 minutes between you and another. And between you and the question and answer between both of you. Okay? So, another, do you want to start or no? 10 minutes or more. So, what can you guys decide, you know? Okay. So we keep the conversation this way for the next 10 minutes or whatever days in both of you. Okay. We need to keep the conversation in the topic, you know. So it's not that you have to answer, if you have another question, he has to answer you in the question in the same topic, not over the amount of topic. And this is also for you to answer your question. We try to answer him in the same topic, not over another topic. So we need to be clear and simple. Both of us are very strong volume for you to be getting this sort of conversation. Okay, now, take the mic, please.
I apologize, but as I was speaking, I had to take care of my kids. I missed the last minute of it, as you said. I'm babysitting my kids and some other kids. They're great, it's just I have to take care of something. I disrespect my... I just did not get it. You said, I apologize for that. Well, I think you repeat that. So, or whatever you want to do is fine. We're going to just pull back and forth and ask you the questions. Or are we going to have people ask us questions? And so, we might be able to ask us questions, and then we can respond. And, like, someone asks you a question, I can respond. 2 minutes and give yourself a warm, and if you're not going to put your response to charge, we're going to do it. We're going to do it. We're going to ask around here with the circles.
Okay, what I said, that Magnus will ask his question and you answer him, and you ask him question and you will answer your question in the same. And we need to keep the question and answer in the same topic. So we put, so all of us as a Christian and Muslim or Muslim can benefit from the talk. Okay, Magnus will ask yours and you can also ask him the question.
Thank you. Thank you for your presentation, Pat. I have just a few questions for you. You did state that Muslims and Christians do not believe in the same God because Christians believe in a Trinity, a commune God, which is what Muslims do reject, that Jesus is not God, nor did he ever claim to be involved in a Trinity. Do I understand that right? I'll give you the mic.
That's correct. The nature of the Christian God is not the same as that of the Muslim God, correct?
Well, if that logic is true, then Jews and Christians also don't believe in the same God either, because Jews also don't believe in Trinity.
That's right. And they need Jesus like anybody else does. They're not excluded from the requirement of the Messiah just because of Jews.
Okay, so I guess really, Muslims and Christians, I mean, Muslims and Jews, we believe in the same God, but as Christians who, I guess, have a different understanding of God, definitely don't believe in the same God. But I would disagree, because how I would answer that question is yes and no. Because if you have a Trinitarian formula, it says the Father is God, Jesus is God, and the Holy Ghost is God. We agree that Jesus is not God, and the Holy Ghost is not God. But that last part which is mentioned in the Trinity, the Father of God, when I look at the Quran, I see that is the same God which we follow. So we believe in one out of the three gods of the Christian religion.
This community follows your equivocation and you're changing the meaning of words as you're using them. You tell the Trinity, and then you do not use the Trinity definition to make the words meant. You've got it wrong, doesn't work. You're just inconsistent. When you said the Trinity is that the Father was the Holy Spirit, you agree, you said this with the Jews, that Jesus is not God and the Holy Spirit is God, but you said that we follow the laws of the same God, the Father, and we do not teach that you are God, the Father is the God. So you're the problem is not understanding the Christian doctrine of the Trinity and misapplying the question to the issue. God in Christianity is all the Holy Spirit. The Word is the Son in flesh. The Word is with God and was with God. We do not believe in the same God. We do not. You and I do not. We need the Jews. We need Jesus. Just like everybody else. The Jesus who rose from the dead and went to the flesh.
Thank you. Actually, I feel like I understand Trinity pretty well. It's just that I don't buy it. I don't believe that they're all one God. I've never seen any proof or evidence for it. But let me go to the next point. You know, I guess you were trying to show that there was Trinity in the Bible and stuff like that. You know, I think that is really what I think, that we agree pretty much on most of what I think, but that we see things differently. For example, the challenge which I placed to you was that when we look at the Bible clearly presents two different gods. You didn't have to go in and tell anything and make mention of the verses that show Jesus is God. It's given to you. Well, my point is it shows two different gods. Doesn't the Bible tell you, in spite of being two different gods, just believe they are one? And I give an analogy. That analogy was like looking at my BMW and my motorcycle. There are two different vehicles there. Now, if I was with someone, and there was only one motor vehicle, and you happen to believe it, looks like he's going to challenge you in the same way. Where is your evidence that there is one motor vehicle? I see a BMW and a motorcycle over here. This was the same challenge to you. I could never prove that there's only one motor vehicle in my driveway. That's the challenge to you. You just basically said, because the Bible says there's one God. Am I correct? That is your proof.
First of all, let me get my notes here. I did not, you have basic understanding of the Trinity is not a very deep one. I didn't mean to disrespect, but even basic understanding of it. And this is not trying to be built. I want to do that. We're trying to establish that Jesus Christ is God in flesh. I'm going to do this just for that. But I'm not dealt with the relationship and the Trinity and the relationship from Scripture yet. So I'm not doing that. And you said, well, within the Spirit, there are two different gods. You then see that the Bible teaches there are two gods. What will you do? What you do at this point is you are constructing a false syllogism, a false construction of logic. In other words, you are trying to get the Bible to contradict itself by the way you can start constructing your argument. And in the construction of your argument, you're demonstrating yet again, you do not understand the doctrine of Trinity or the information. The Bible does not teach that there are two gods. The Bible contradicts that. So you just said that there are teaching of two gods, and then he says you're only one God. It's a contradiction. We don't believe it. What does that teach that? It does not. So you can say that it does, that you're Muslim. So you can tell me that you in the Quran actually teaches of Muhammad. Without you. And that's what you want. And you say, what if I say that? And you say, we can teach that. I say, well, what if you say that you want to mean that? Well, what do I? I would say to you, does it teach this? I say, well, you know what I mean. I'm going to go through the doctrine of argument, what it is if you disprove it, you can't draw the top. Well, I can tell you, the doctrine of Trinity is only one God, period. The two parts of God. Moses Christ, so to speak, became man under the law, and under the law, he would call the Father to God. It does not mean there are two gods. The Bible, the two doctrine of Trinity, is that the one God, Jesus, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And that very fact of it being Son is the doctrine of Trinity, means the monotheistic, which demonstrates that when you don't use the monotheistic sense, you're not understanding what it's meant for.
You know, I never said, you know, the Bible teaches to God. If you notice the words which I was using, it's very important to pay attention to detail so we can understand the Trinity. I honestly believe I really do understand it. I think the Bible presents two different gods, but it just tells you to believe in one God. In spite of that, that is what I tell my Trinity does. I give an analogy, just like if I were to present you my BMW and the Honda. I'll show you that, and I say, you know what, just believe that there's one motor vehicle in my driveway. Anyone's going to ask the same question, wait a second, I see two there. So, and you ask me, okay, again, tell me, what is your group of evidence that I'm wrong, there are not two motor vehicles there, and there's only one motor vehicle. So what I am asking you, Matthew, not to recite what you believe about the Trinity, what you believe about Jesus, I'm asking you to somehow show me that those two different gods in the Old Testament, they are all one. I'm sorry, in the New Testament, show me they have one God. Just ask the same question I think anyone would ask. This is not a very tricky question. It's a question of common sense. The mic is yours.
Okay, you said the Bible presents two different gods. No, it doesn't. The Bible does not present two different gods. It does not present that. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. There are no textual variants on this. This is an accurate translation I can translate from the Greek into English in John chapter 1, verse 1. There are no textual variants. In other words, all the 5,600 supporting Greek manuscripts that we have, there's no error in them, there's no variant. That is what it says. This is the original writing. John the Apostle wrote this. Because he was alluding to Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning God made. Here, it's in the beginning, the Word was with God, the Word was God. The Bible itself is teaching that there is a distinction within the nature of God, that God can be both the Word and the Word can be with God. This is what the Bible teaches. One of the things that you've got to be careful of is not to suggest your, you suggest the Bible, let it fall or any other, but you can't hold it right to your understanding and say, this is how it must be because it doesn't make any sense. Well, otherwise, well, you can't do that. The Bible is called the revelation of God. It says the Word was with God and the Word was God. This is what the Bible says. You work with God. When you talk to two motorcycles, that's called two motorcycles and not one motorcycle. Because by definition, a motorcycle, by definition, is a single unit, a single item. So there's a two single complete units, which is what is sin or the complete unit, or sin or the complete machine unto itself. When you say you have two motorcycles, two motorcycles, not one motorcycle. We agree. But the analogy does not carry over to the doctrine of the Trinity because the single unit of the Trinity is three persons. It is not the same thing. It's a motorcycle analogy. It's not a logical reference to the motorcycle analogy. How do you understand this? The doctrine of the Trinity is that there is only one God. He exists in three persons. Look at this one. Time is past, present, and future. Time is past, present, and future. The past is not the same as the present, which is not the same as the future. There's three aspects of all nature sharing the same essence, which is time. If you could say, I would be controlled and actually predicted. But you have time of man, because man is not time of man at the same time. Does it mean then that there's not three times or three whatever? No, it doesn't mean that. It simply means this part of that time is the true one of us, and we can complicate it. It doesn't mean that there's not a second and additional meaning that would be close. This is an analogy. The doctrine of Trinity must be woven in God's terms sometimes. There's a good analogy when it's happening. And if you use your doctrine of Trinity better, you know, it do not teach that there are more than one God. The nature of doctrine, that definition itself teaches there is only one God. If you want to say that a Bible says, or if you two gods, I would say to you, you're wrong. It does not. It doesn't. So if you assume it does, it's incorrect. It does not. Well, it teaches only one God. Paul taught this. Jesus taught it. James taught it. John taught it. One God. The Bible also teaches it. It's one God. The Bible is one God. Yet, at the same time, Jesus, who believed in the one God, also claimed the divine name of God himself. He says, before Abraham was, I am. This is an encounter with God, not something that made that we can grasp with our minds.
Thank you. I agree with you. You know, maybe you're not understanding me. I am not saying that Trinity teaches two gods. I'm not saying that. Trinity teaches one God. What Trinity does, it presents to you three or two to three different gods. I can find that happen in the Bible. Anyone can see that what happened in the Bible. You have one God on the cross, but you got one God in heaven. And there are two different gods there. Now, I understand that you have been teaching what you've been doing. If you have been Bible teaches one God, Trinity teaches one God. Fine. Well, I'm accepting that, but I asked you for proof. Show me these two different gods on the Bible. And you, I don't think you are able to do so. I've already had this discussion with many people, and you're not willing to look at them and to have two different gods in your Christian indoctrination. I mean, that's fine. It's not my job here to make people see the truth. It's not my job to make the blind to see or to give life to the dead, but simply present the truth. So, that's what I think we're going to have to do. We're going to have to agree to disagree on this. As I said, and as quoted accurately, the Bible clearly presents two different gods. I can demonstrate to anyone. I mean, anyone that has any common sense can see that. But it tells you to believe in one God anyways, in spite of that. So that is something they're going to have to agree to disagree. And Christians have to understand, I think they tell themselves, when they look at Jesus on the cross and God up in heaven, these two gods are guys who believe this. They hammer it in their head, there's only one God there, there's only one God. Why would you use one God? So I don't think they're really saying anything different. It's just that I don't think you want to come to me and take your belief and put it aside and look at the Bible and see the two gods. So just to reiterate my point, when Christians say that they believe in one God, well, I would respond to that. In fact, I respect the fact that you may think you believe in one God. In reality, you believe in more than one God. And I don't think, no matter how much NASA comes to the internet and says, no, it's just one God, it's one God, whatever he says, one God, you will never be able to prove that there is only one God. I've already demonstrated this to you guys. I've given an example of my motorcycle and my BMW car. And I would have to say, hey, you know, there's only one motor vehicle here. People are going to say, no, there's two. So I'm not coming from outer space. You see, I think this is common sense. So I'd like to move on to the next point and agree to disagree there. Thank you.
Well, I'm sure we can agree with you because I disagree with you. Absolutely. There's no doubt in my mind that you are never. You said, I'm not saying what you meant. You said, I'm not saying that Trinity keeps two commandments. I'm saying that Trinity presents two or three commandments. It's a self-contradiction. And in some way, it's funny, you're not understanding the issue of logic. Self-contradiction, you're not using any doctrine of Trinity. You see, you say you understand it, and then you talk about how it's not. Well, nobody proved to you that there's only one God in the world. Well, let's get together sometime, and I'll give you a lesson on the doctrine of the Trinity and how to service this one God, the definition of person, and how the person came to usage, the relationship between the Father and the Holy Spirit, how they claim to be the divine, and how they claim that you're only one God. How do you do this? I don't know if you're willing to sit down and listen to it, because it is beyond the scope and time of what you have to do here. You just don't want to believe that opinion. I'm not going to read your mind as a parent, potentially. You don't want to do what the Bible says. How do you change the kind of Muslim? You must try and say that there are two gods. And then you must say that Christians say there is one God. And then you must assert that the reality is there is more than one God. What you do here is play the mind reader. You're trying to tell us that Christians really believe, according to your logic. And you use a motorcycle analogy, which I've always illustrated to you, the false analogy does not relate to the original doctrine of the Trinity, which I try to tell you, you don't have to hear, sometimes you really don't understand. The nature of the doctrine of the Trinity tells the monotheistic, one God and three persons. You say, prove that there's only one God. Okay, Jesus is only one God. Oh, there's only one God. He can't believe it. Show me how God cannot be three persons. There is no logical reason why he cannot be three persons. So how can God? Just because this house said it can't, doesn't mean it's so. I don't buy that at all. I've got what Jesus says. Before Abraham was, I am. That's what Jesus said. Do you claim to follow him and believe him? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the I am? When God, when Moses spoke, I'll ask you a question now. When Moses, God, who are you? And God said, I am that I am. Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. And Jesus says, John 8:58, before Abraham was, I am. And I'm going to kill him for saying that. Why are you doing that? Why is Jesus claiming the divine title of God himself? He's not God. Go ahead.
Thank you. Actually, I don't think you showed my analogy false at all. You see, this is a contradiction where you can present two gods and just teach the one God. This is a contradiction in that world. I can present you two things, but my teaching is that you are one. It's very simple. So I think, just going back to the same issue that, you know, you look at the same two gods on the Bible. Anyone here with common sense can see there's two gods there. In spite of that, that Bible teacher, there is one God. So it presents two gods, which is two people using one God. So I think we're just going around in circles around this. And you've tried to make an attempt to prove that there is one God. You took a stab at it, which is at least pretty easy. You basically proved that these third verses showing there is one God. Which goes back to what I have just pretty much been saying all along, that, you know, the Bible, you are basically, what you're basically doing is that you're stating your belief about that. Well, I believe that because Jesus got out here and the Holy Ghost God and now that the God in heaven, you're all from God. All you're doing is just stating what you believe about it. You are not proving it to me. And that is what is, I guess, a disconnect we're having. You basically asked me to venture with you in the Bible and talk about verses which deify Jesus. If you understand what I'm saying, all along I'm saying the Bible presents to God. That means the Bible makes Jesus into a God. There's no point in doing that, you see, and I don't believe in the Bible because at least throughout history the Bible has been altered and changed. But that is not the discussion. Let's talk about that issue later on. We can have another dialogue and talk about that. So I'm ready to go to the next topic.
The topic was discussed in all Christianity. In Christianity, Jesus Christ is God. Therefore, who Jesus is begin to communicate to you by saying that each motorcycle is a unit complete unto itself, and is not the doctrine of three gods, or that Jesus is a god, a unit unto himself, it's what the Bible says, or the Trinity doctrine is, that there's one unit, God, three persons. It's a different thing. I did tackle that. You cannot accept it. You won't accept it because you're not going to can't. There's no proof for you. If there's proof for you, you can't convert. But you can't position them at all. There is no proof. The only kind of proof for you is the proof for you. There's no proof for you. Because your presupposition is based on the law. If it's going to be the same, say, prove it to me. Really? I can prove something to you that you will not accept. And you will not accept it. I can't prove it to you. And that is the problem. The question that you say, prove it to me. If I may say to you, prove it to me, wrong, you should probably go on. Even if you know. I presupposition is not law because the trust of Christ says, of what Muhammad says. That was not present Jesus as the God. You keep going to this. This is the crux of your argument. You have to say the Bible says Jesus is a God, and that the Father is another God, and the Holy Spirit is another God, and you have come down on that. That's not what it teaches. So I suggest this point. And we can drop this and go on, because you don't understand the incarnation of the talking to Trinity sufficiently to really get into it very deeply. And I have asked you a question that is very relevant to this subject. The nature of the Christian God, we claim Jesus Christ is God, the Word, in flesh. Jesus, who's God, the Word, in flesh. Now you ask me a question. Might you answer your question? Why would Jesus lay claim to the divine title of God himself and say as if the evil and he says what Abraham was, I am. When God says to Moses, I am that I am. That's a question for me. Go ahead.
Well, your question actually is pretty easy to answer. You said, why did Jesus claim this? Well, I see what you're doing. You're quoting the Bible. I don't believe that the Bible is an accurate record of what Jesus taught. You know, this is, like I mentioned, this is a book that has been changed from generation to generation. Priests and et cetera have put in their own theology in this. Now, this is why I'm not saying, you know, I'm not using the Bible as any kind of standard for myself. I don't believe in the Bible. Nevertheless, I don't deny that there could be some authentic person Jesus in there. But, you know, it also has a person of man in there. So I don't use the Bible as my source of information. You mentioned that you tried to explain why my analogy does not pertain to the Bible. Well, you said because usually each one is an individual unit, and that contradicts what the Bible says. Yes, it contradicts one part of the Bible that says there is one God. But it doesn't contradict the other part. You think my analogy contradicts your belief that there is one God. But it does not contradict showing that Jesus is one God, and then there's God in heaven, and there's two gods there, clearly. Anyone, you bring that, you will see there are two gods there, but the Bible just tells you to believe in one God. Anyways, as far as putting Muhammad, peace be upon him, I have no problem with that. I believe that he's given many rational evidences for this claim, for the prophecy. It's not something based upon blind faith. Again, that's another discussion. We don't have to probably make up another time to talk about that. Therefore, let me move on to my next point. Your analogy that you've been giving. You know, you said that God is like time, past, present, and future. Okay, up to this point, what I demonstrated was that there was the Bible presented two gods which tells you to believe in God. That is what the Bible teaches. Now let's turn over and see what's in Matthew. Let's see if this analogy really shows on God. And yes, you will see that there is no doubt that this man, Edward, Max Wick, you can give you three gods. No question about it. Let me show you why. In your analogy of past, present, and future, this is how you understand God. If someone came and told you that Saturday, Sunday, and Monday are going to be all these days, but there's only one day, anyone is going to come and tell you, hey, man, you believe in three different days. You gave us three different days. Yes, they're all time, but they are all different chunks of time. You see, so again, I'm going to have to go back to the same point. Now we were switching from the Bible to Matt Flake. Matt Flake is very obvious and clear that you believe in more than one God by the analogy you gave me. That does not show there's one God. It's that me coming and telling you that I believe in Rachel, Martha, Jan, and Penny, but they're all girls. Therefore, I believe in one girl. No, that is I want you to look at one girl, you look at three different girls. Therefore, what it comes back to you, it will always come back to this, no matter what, that the Christians clearly believe in more than one God in reality. But they just think that they are worshiping one God. And that's what kind of hammers his belief in his past so much to the point that he's not willing to really look beyond his belief and see what the Bible is clearly presenting. So please explain, this analogy just shows you believe in three gods, and how do you explain this analogy that's actually teaching one God? Please, the magistrates.
Alright, we have one second here. This reason you asked me many questions about the answer to it. I've been quiet and I've sat there and I've taken a lot of notes and asked questions and problems. I responded to them. I asked you twice the question about Jesus in chapter 58, and all you did was dismiss it. And as you went on, you got more credit. That is not acceptable to you. You must respond to the question or this debate, this discussion is made over. You can't say, oh, little girl, that's hard to answer. Now let me ask you another question, Matt. I'm sorry, it doesn't work out. And before I present my argument about the types of God, and we're going to get to the ATM, you can only say that it was obvious that I believe in two gods. You see, this is where you make your mistake. You should not try and read my heart and my mind and tell the room what God believes. I would not do that of you. I would not say to the room, it is obvious that for this reason you would be such and such when you would contradict me and not believe that. I would assume you would know what you believe better than what I know what you believe. So, when you start saying that I really believe in something called you, what the hell is that wrong? You're essentially, you're going nowhere. And it's out of my character. And I know that may not be what you're intending to do, and you may be trying to undermine my reasonableness here, but I think you're starting to set up some dangerous area here. You should show some respect and understand that I do not believe in my own God. I do not. I understand this a lot better than you do. I do not believe in more than God. I never have. I went against that teaching constantly in Christianity in my debates. Now, about the ball, you said that I'm not trustworthy. Well, let's take the New Testament alone. The New Testament documents written originally in Greek. You know that it's a young way of living, that's okay. There are, I think it's 5,600 some odd supporting Greek manuscripts. In other words, there are over 5,600 copies of these Greek manuscripts. Guess how the textual accuracy is of them. Among themselves, you get them all and you combine them together and you look and any variations, and 91.5% textually pure. That means just 0.5% of any of all text is in any textual variation at all. And if there's anything like that, you know that even most scholars are nothing and have no issue to deal with. This is a relevant issue because you say the Bible isn't trustworthy. So if you have the
Mr. Matt, I'm sorry to address you. I'm sorry to run that. But now we're going off of the topic now. We're going off of the topic. Come on in. Is it? Well, I shouldn't have been that bad. Maybe that is connected. So go ahead. I'm going to get this bad as a also let me know that he knows how to talk the topic, you know. We can do the same topic. Okay, let me invite him back, I did not mean that you were going to talk to because you start to go off the topic. So we need to be in the same topic, please. So, Mike is yours, sir.
This is only a Christian broadband in here. I was not on the topic. He ignored my question and dismissed it on a false ground. I'm correcting the reason for the dismissal so that he would then be required to answer the question. I have been very, very consistent in answering most every single question I can record from him so that I can write it down and I can answer it. When I ask him a question, he ignored it, he dismisses it, and then goes on. And it was not off topic, because it deals with the nature of who God is, which is what the topic is, Jesus Christ in Christianity is God in flesh. It is not off topic at all. For him to say, you know what, I'm acceptable, therefore, I have to answer it. It's not acceptable. It's not acceptable. I'm trying to show this in the Bible. It's indeed reliable, so that he doesn't have an excuse to ignore the question. That's the issue. If you ever doubt me again, I'm done. This is over, I'm going to come back. So, the question then stands. You have quoted for this reason. You have quoted the Spirit of the Spirit. You have quoted the Bible. Convince me. When I quote it against you, you know what to answer. You say, sorry, I'm comfortable with the answer. Doesn't work that way. You're the person. Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. God said to Moses, I am that I am. Why did Jesus claim the divine title of God himself? That's a question to you. What's your reason?
Certain verse, Timmy is not going to, I think, really do anything. I've been saying that. I don't read the Bible. You know, I've studied the textual criticism in the Bible, and I believe that there's some fundamental changes. And so that is my belief. Now, what's going to happen here, and I don't fault the moderator for doing this, we're going to begin to read on the Bible and the text and the historical life of the Bible. We're going to go way off topic. So I'd like to do is to speak to the comments of God and Islam and Christianity. You ask me why I don't believe in these verses. You're quoting me from your book. I gave you the answer. So that may be a good follow-up discussion to this discussion. We can do another time. Is the Bible reliable? I'd be more than willing to debate that with you. Okay, I want to get off this topic. This is kind of getting a touchy topic. Let's go on to another one. You know, it says there inside the Bible that, Jesus was born of a woman. It's important to believe Jesus was born of a woman. But I have a hard time, accepting that God Almighty turned himself into this little baby and came out of this reproductive version of a woman. You know, peeing and screaming like a baby, peeing and pooping his pants like a baby would. Now, I have a very hard time accepting that God Almighty turns himself into the deity that has come out with all this amniotic food on him, and I just picture that. I'm like, wait a second, no way. This is, cannot be God. Could you enlighten me a little bit on this? It might be yours, man.
Okay, Paul.
see if you don't like what the Bible says, you dismiss it. You still have not answered the question. I've asked you a simple question. See, the problem here is that you will use your Bible against me, and you'll try to, and you'll quote Christ himself. But you have no problem doing that when you are trying to support your position. But as soon as I do the same thing and trying to pull out this from the Bible, you then say, sorry, I don't trust it. And you can't do that. So you are not being consistent. If you are going to use the Bible, then you need to answer to the Bible. If you have an argument with you in the Quran, I would not ask you. You ask me questions that you don't know the problem answer. What kind of response is that? It's not a fair response, and it's not a good response. You can say, you don't know, that's fine. But then don't quote it. So you don't use it as an authority in our discussion and to say, the Bible really teaches this, because what you're saying here, the Bible does teach this, so there's no objection to what's going on. And that was kind of bad, and the Bible before it teaches. And then when I ask you a question about what Jesus says, sorry, I'm not going to answer it because you know what? I don't know. There's an inconsistency here. And I'm going to speak on the subject. John 8:58. I'm looking at the Greek right now. This is a Greek text. I'm looking at what it says. In the Greek, right here, I'm looking at the notes. And there are no textual variants here. This means this is an accurate copy of what Jesus said. In fact, there are no textual variations here. There are no copies anywhere existing in there that contradict exactly as it quoted in the Greek. In here, in this room, it is absolutely not accurate. There's nothing contrary to it. It's just finishing, okay? This is not your body. It's an accurate. This is what Jesus himself said. He said to him, I am. I'm asking you the question. Since you use the Bible and answer it, why would Jesus claim the divine title of God? He's not God. Why do you do that? Go ahead.
I think you. Well, first of all, I'm not being inconsistent. I believe I'm being consistent in my study and research of the Bible. But I think what you are saying is that, like, for example, you asked me about this verse in the Bible. I said, hey, man, the Bible is claiming Jesus to be God. But I don't believe in the Bible is accurate. I don't believe in the Bible. Therefore, with my personal belief about the Bible, there's no bearing on this, as long as I'm using it consistently. And I think that's a deep connect I'm having. So, yeah, I mean, how many times do I have to come up to the microphone and say, well, the Bible does teach in a human God, man worshiping? How many times do I have to come up and say that? So, I don't believe that I'm being consistent. Anyway, the microphone is yours. I forgot the last question you were asking me. I forgot the microphone. I forgot what you were saying.
Well, then, you admit that you say the Bible teaches that Jesus is a God order, as you say, oh God, which is the word of God, but you admit that the Bible teaches Jesus is divine. And Jesus is claiming it. You just don't want to believe it because you don't think the Bible is accurate. That's the prerogative. So you do believe it, I see. You do admit the Bible does teach it. That's correct. Is the Bible accurate? Yes, it is. That's another discussion. So, Jesus did claim, according to the Bible, he did claim to have a brush. You just don't want to believe what Jesus said, even though there is absolutely no textual evidence whatsoever of any kind that contradicts what Jesus said. There's no evidence for it whatsoever. You're not able to answer that. So, even though I'm going to say that, go ahead.
I just wanted to correct you on one thing. You said, I don't believe what Jesus said. You see, what I'm going to inform you that is that I don't believe Jesus said those things. I believe the words of men, because I believe the Bible hasn't changed. Now you're dragging me into a Bible study, so I just, you know, I think it's kind of getting off the topic. And I think, you know, first of all, let me just address why I don't believe in the Bible very quickly. The Bible which you have today is based on a set of manuscripts. These manuscripts are copies of copies of copies of copies. They're not original manuscripts. That's number one. Number two, the question I would like to ask is how do you know that those copies and copies and copies are based on an original manuscript? Original copies. How do you know those copies are original? It could be copies of a fabricated document. It could be the copies of an altered document, and that is the reason why I don't believe in the Bible. done with. I want to move into the next. How likely to answer my question as far as God being born of a woman and turning himself into a small little baby? What I'm asking you is this, how I have this right. This is what the Bible teaches.
Comment about something and I'll answer that question. You have not in the silence, you say we have no originals, and so therefore we can't trust it. In other words, you don't have any evidence to the contrary, so you argue for what we don't have. That's not a very good place to go. On your part, was God born as a baby? No, God has a Trinity. Was the Word born as a baby? Yes, it was. Did the Word make flesh come? Yes. Be wise? Yes. Be solid and grace on him? Yes. Did he grow? Yes, he did. Did he speak words? Yes. Did he come back to him? Yes, he did. Yes, he did. You might like it. And you're talking about like it. But it makes no difference to what the truth is. Whether or not we like something is still bearing on truth. The issue is it true or not? And that's the question always comes down to. You can have a test with it. Because it says that it's true. If it's not, well, you can't trust it from you. That's what it's going to come to. And I have no problem with God becoming one of us. Why can't he? Is there a reason he can't become one of us? Is there a reason he can't? Who else is going to remove our sins? Us? Not God. God's going to be one of us. And you find a logical reason why he's to God. Let God us do it. As he prophesied he would in the Old Testament.
Okay, so I guess what I understand from your response is that God was born of a woman. God turned himself into a flesh of a man, or in this case a baby, and made himself, and basically was born of a woman. He peed, he pooped, and etc. As you mentioned, I think, you know, all I'm just saying is from an Islamic perspective, you know, we believe that we say Allah when we have something like that. We think God is greater than that. And I explain many, many reasons what Islam is trying to abolish, like false worship, belief in man worshiping, etc. But this is also another thing which Islam has come to correct, and that is teachings and doctrine which degrade God to a very lowly level. And in fact, there is a prayer which the Prophet Muhammad peace be upon him has, in which Rasulullah said, "Subhanallah, Allah is free from the imperfections which man gives." So we believe this is a kind of very blasphemous and kind of insulting, you know, way to depict God as a baby, you know, suckling a woman's breast, coming out of the organ of a woman, and peeing and pooping his pants. But like he said, this is what the Bible teaches and that's what you believe. So I'll reach out to answer that and I'll ask another question.
Well, to be honest, it's not God who became flesh, it's the Word that became flesh. Let's just be more specific, it's the Word that became flesh. And really, who cares? What this says about this? Because it doesn't vary on what's true. The issue is whether or not it is true objectively. It's not an issue whether it's true because Malofsky does not like it because of preference and I don't like that. There's no bearing whatsoever on the nature of what truth and reality is. The issue is, can it happen? Is it a logical reason or it cannot? Is there a logical reason why that can't become a man? I mean, because you believe it happens, some people believe it can happen, it can be logical. So if someone denies it, it has no bearing on reality. So all your parents are present that it can't happen, and it has no bearing on the truth of that. And so those who knew Jesus wrote about this. Don't forget what he says in the Old Testament. You know there's a prophet on the side. He's not going to say all the Old Testament, not just the Old Testament. He's going to tell the prophet, "I will pour out the mouth of God on the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and justification so that they will look upon me whom he have pierced." And if you believe for that to be true, God will become a man. No, he didn't kill a man, he got born. Yeah, he doesn't have to do all this other stuff. But as a man, we have someone who speaks to the Father for us. We have Jesus, the God-man. Well, aren't you thankful for him? Go ahead.
Just one quick question. I'm really confused. Jesus was me. Was he God or was he not? And Mighty Dirt.
When Jesus came, he was the Word, who was God made flesh. He's both the Word and human at the same time. Colossians chapter 2, verses verse 9, Hebrews 2, 5, 3, 8, 2, 1, 1, 1, 14, 14.
Okay, I have one more question. You know, I don't want to get into, you know, the whole interpretation made on the Bible about Trinity or Jesus being God in the New Testament or Old Testament. I think it's a matter of, you know, interpretation. But my question to you, something is very specific. Do you have any kind of archaeological evidence or historical evidence of any community of Hebrews believing in Trinity? Do we have any kind of evidence of that?
I don't know if we have any evidence of that. I can't imagine that you want that. But what this debate is about, it's about the Trinity and the Deity of Christ. You said, you don't want to debate the Trinity and the Deity of Christ. That's a good job. That's a whole new thing.
Okay, so I think the answer, I've researched that and I've seen no. And that's probably why Jews don't believe in Trinity. Really, Trinity, the interpretation of Trinity first hit the scene after Jesus left this earth. I think you can agree with me on that, but before then, we've never seen any kind of scholar or community of people believing in this, and I believe that is, you know, what history tells us. Let's see if I have any more questions here. No, I think that's about it. I'm wondering, I guess, could we make 1 minute closing remarks, moderator?
Only for the gas. So the truth is in the Trinity. Yeah. But that has an bearing on what the truth is. The world does teach Trinity, and Jesus himself did say, baptize people in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So Jesus himself spoke about the Father, Jesus spoke about the Holy Spirit, he spoke about himself in the way the truth of life and living comes through him, provided by him, and he said, unless you believe that I am, that God is sinners. It's just missing that the Bible is not sufficient for you. It doesn't lack change in reality in Christ. So,
Thank you, Matt. And thanks, Roger. Well, I think that the next 15 minutes will be questions and answers. From the people in the room. Is that right, Nathan, or not? Let me know. This is the question. So, and 1 minute, comes to the mic. Hey, Nathan, the mic and the system for the next 15 minutes, what do you have to do? Nathan, the mic is yours.
Yeah, I think it's a good idea to open up for question and answer time. Go ahead and start with 1 minute closing remarks that all have discussed. So I think we can spend some time in making, you know, bringing it to an end. Why don't Matt go first and Bob first, speaking last? So, what do you think, Matt?
I want to conclude with what Jesus says. Unless you believe that I am, you will die in your sins. Jesus rose from the dead. He walked on water. He claimed to be God. It's an awful lot of stuff for you to see. It's God's eye and all that. That's an awful lot. And the particular way is to support them. And, thank you today. Thanks for the discussion. And, appreciate that. And hopefully the questions go well.
Thank you. Well, I think a lot of discussed here, and, one thing which is clear is that, Max's views are based upon the Bible, but the question comes whether the Bible is really true and accurate, and that will be another debate, hopefully. So I need to use that next, but let me just summarize what exactly his concept. And this is not a Muslim, this is not a person who has to believe in these things and to go to heaven. Basically, he believes in the one God, which is the same God as Abraham, Moses, Isaac, and Jacob, and he saw that they never really believed in the Trinity or worship Jesus as God. This was a much bigger development than this belief of Christ. The song clearly denies any kind of man worshiping or animal worshiping. Again, the belief about God coming in the form of a man is what we say in Christianity. This belief is not new. We see this reoccurring in so many pagan religions, and I give many examples of man worshiping God, you know, man worshiping other men as gods. So it's not something new, but this is not the belief of Abraham and of the other prophets. We also believe that Jesus Christ was a mighty messenger of God. We believe in Jesus, but that he was a messenger, and he didn't come to this earth to tell people that he was God or that he was involved in a trinity. And the last thing which I mentioned is that in Islam, the teaching that no man or child or anything is equal to God in any way. It doesn't matter who, whether it's priest Melchizedek or Jesus, God is superior to all. And the last thing I plan to mention is basically my view, which I stated, that the Bible does teach or does present two different gods and tells people there's only one God. I'm looking for a question after that.
Okay, I just thank you, Nader. Thank you, Matt. So, questions will be one in one. So, one question for Nader, one question for Matt. Or how would you like to do it? Because I see the line is like most of, actually all of them are Christian, so yeah, they will have to answer everything. It's okay. Okay, but the question it has to be exactly related to the prophet, not all of the prophets. So answering Islam, nothing to do.
Yes, before I go, is my sound coming in clearly? Can someone put a line in the text? Okay. There are so many issues brought up, and everyone can see that did a superb job. Just my question. This is for another reason. There's so many, but I'm going to focus on one. Earlier, he had made the claim that God says there's nothing comparable to Allah. Nothing in creation is comparable to Allah. And I'm in agreement with that. But yet he gave the example of saying that if you see two vehicles in my garage, and I say they're one, it would make no sense. But now I have a problem with that analogy. If nothing is comparable to Allah, then why is it he has to use an example of his creation and compare it to the oneness of Allah, which assumes that Allah's oneness corresponds to things in creation? But if it's unlike creation, then its oneness will also be unlike that in creation. So can you explain the logical fallacy of that argument? And related to this is that I know that let us reason believe Allah has eyes, he has a shin, he has legs. And he says that even though he has these in a real way, they're not like anything in creation. I want him to convince us in the room that when he says Allah has eyes, they're not like eyes we see in creation. Because he might claim it, but I don't believe it. Just like he said, what we're saying, there's one God and three persons, but it's still actually more than one God. Like he said, I can't make a blind to see or a dead man come to life. So let him explain that, and let Matt respond. I yield the mic.
Sure, the analogy is actually right on. I was not comparing anything to any of God's attributes, because nothing is comparable unto God. But what I was responding to, what I was comparing to, is the passage in the Bible. You see that there are two gods that are very clear. One God on the cross, one God up in heaven. So my question is, you know, if an analogy of my message to you, two things, then how is it that you're going to tell me that you're one? Please show me some proof that you are one. But when it comes to comparing God and his attributes, God's holiness, or, you know, something like this, yes, there's something that we can compare God with, because he's absolutely unique in his mind. And as for having eyes and shins and stuff like that, it's really easy to answer. Everything is on basic committee he shin. So there's nothing. There is nothing equal or comparable to God. Therefore, when it says God has hands or something like that, we affirm he has hands, but his hands are not like our hands. That is my point over here. And so basically nothing can be compared to God, and that is the context of the Quran. I'm not having a double standard, because I'm saying Allah just is above. In the Quran says, yes, Allah has hands, He says his hands are not like mine, so I'm being consistent with the point of the Quran, and I'm still consistent with the Bible. God does present hands. I'm not saying that he doesn't, you see, so that is different. And I think that was it, so I'll give you back to that.
Thank you, that is grateful as quick as I can. Hope you all have much help. When you see one bang across and one guy is chicken, this is your interpretation, your position upon the text of viewing the mind in the first place. That's not what it teaches. You commit the fallacy of equivocation. The Trinity is that there is one God, and that this one God is the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. But then you say Jesus is a God, thereby contradicting the doctrine of the Trinity, you say you understand. This is an interpretation. Not understanding the doctrine of the Trinity and trying to impose the context what it does not say, and it does not say that there are two gods.
Well, another question from Mr. Thomas, right? You said that there's a big God, that you just have a big God, you can call him a woman, and that the father is possible to think that a big God, a mouth bow, and father God, you're a great father God. Isn't it? That's it.
Yeah, bless you. Go to the Mormon Church, because the Mormon Church teaches that Jesus God is the Father, another God, the Mormon Church, and Jesus God is human inspired, and they have sexual relations and produce offspring, and you can't believe that. So that's Mormonism. Which of course is a non-Christian cult, we don't say that. No, we don't need people to be God. No, we don't say that. He is the word who became flesh. As the Bible says in Ephesians 2:5-8, he's just the word who became flesh. He's not born to be God, but he was born as a man, and the divine nature was within the body of Christ in the sense. That's all the same. Go ahead.
Maybe just respond to that. You know, mattress phone is pretty much, you know, the whole problem that we're having here, the disconnect we're having that, is you say you don't say that you're baby God, but you believe that there's a baby God. Whether you say it or not, and that this baby God was peeing and pooping his pants, you yourself see, hey, wait a second, there's something wrong with this, and that's why you explain something baby God. So, if you do believe that baby is real, that was God and man. But you do believe that there's God in the cradle. The mic is yours to the next person.
Thank you very much. I'm going to ask a question to let us know. I'm busting the scripture because you claim that you said that the Trinity came after the later days. And he called it days like 300 some years after the resurrection of Christ Jesus. Okay? Can you please read Isaiah 48:16 and tell me what you think of it?
I can answer that very clearly. And I believe what I said to Matt Slick and whether I'm getting into a Bible, because there's a lot of debate on this, whether Trinity is in the Bible or not. The question which I posed to Matt Slick is that do we have any kind of historical or archaeological evidence that believes Isaiah 46 was in fact a Trinitarian God? And I don't think we have any. So I don't want to get into sort of, you know, this verse means that, or my interpretation of this verse means that. I was looking to see the Jews and the early believers of this book, did they really view the Trinity? And the answer is no. Mike is your thought page.
I just respond. Short response. Well, hey, this is the Bible. Genesis 19:24. Jehovah was Yahweh, rain fire and brimstone from Yahweh out of heaven. Jehovah rain fire and brimstone from Jehovah out of heaven. There's certainly a quality there. And other verses where God is seen and his cloud is in the Godhead in the Testament. Just because some Jews didn't believe it doesn't mean that it isn't true. See, the issue is it wasn't what I will say. Go ahead.
Okay, thank you for stuff up my things. Thank you, of course, to Matt and Jesus. I would like to ask about the math. About the math. So far, I came to the conclusion that Jesus and God are the same. But in the Bible, I read that God cannot be tempted with evil or with Satan. But Jesus was tempted. That's his thing. Could you tell me what Joe is on here, please? And I'll help you with this list.
Quickly, I understand the hypothetical union, but here's the thing. You know, we have to accept that when Jesus was tempted, it's both God and man being tempted according to your interpretation. There's no way in the Bible that when you see Jesus being tempted, well, that's not the God part, but the human part being tempted. We don't need that. It is both God and man being tempted by this, you know, temptation. There's also one thing I forgot to respond to answering Islam. Which is Shimon. I love these analogies given for the Trinity, and I said that, you know, when you look at these analogies, it becomes crystal clear that you believe in more than one God. And I'm not trying to read anyone's mind, I'm just going down the analogy you give me. And Sam Shimon gave me an analogy that God is like Abraham and his son Isaac. Now, how are you going to tell me this is one God? If this is your understanding that God is Jesus, like Abraham and Isaac, then it's very clear you believe in two gods, but in fact you believe, you know, you believe that you're thinking in one God, but in fact you are believing two. So there's just another example. Might be yours.
Well, I want to repeat that, first of all. We don't believe in two gods. That's ridiculous. My question is to you, actually, for this reason. You say that you have the original text that you pulled from the Injil, but you don't have the Injil. So you yourself do not have any original text. So I don't know where you're coming off saying the Bible is just nothing but an addition or whatever you call that. You don't have any idea. You don't know what was said before. So you don't have anything to compare it to outside of the Bible. The God of Abraham and Isaac. All the same. The same God. Oh my.
Concept of God in Islam and Christianity. Yes, there are no original documents quoted from the Bible, and yes, much of the message of Jesus was lost, but these are only fragments, and that is why I do not rely on the Bible. And there's lots of debates on this, and it's really interesting to discuss with Maxwell on the authenticity of the Bible. Is it authentic or not? But we'll have to do this for another time.
Yes, we can, and we can go to the show 27 and 4163-33 and sort of talk about how I gave this to the prophets. And obviously, the Quran says that there is no one who knows the words and decrees of Allah, and no one can change his words. So, you gave it to Jesus and the apostles, and that is correct.
Just responds to that, when it says that nothing can change the letters of the law, this is, if you look at the context, it's talking about the decree of Allah. Like, for example, you look at how Jesus was born. He is the word of Allah. Be and it is. And when Allah says be and it is, no one can change that. So they're not talking about manuscripts or books. That is proper context. Next question.
Okay, I'll bring this lamb. You should give my permission before you post the email link. In the beginning, Mr. Matt refused me to put any links. So please, you should have my permission. I will sorry to anybody who put any links. I will put my links also as well. So just see or make it clear about the whole part of this kind of time. Okay, yeah, that's correct. So who is this gentleman? Did someone know the term? I don't think so. Okay, Matt.
We have a problem now. We haven't seen any debate about the enforcement of personal rights. And the bill has been most of which I don't approve of. And we were supposed to have one question directed to you, first of all. And we answer it, and the other person who's going to ask the next question. Well, see, you were supposed to trust this. That's your job as a moderator. I responded, and then I believe that we are all here, I believe that you need two responses, and you can do that. But let's get some quick with you going here, okay? Go ahead.
Okay, it's my fault, Matt. Sorry, I apologize for that. Okay, thank you. I'm so annoyed. Try to get the mic again and respond.